This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Black holes, the cosmos, space and time travel, science and technology. Brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku.
And GCNLive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. On Science Fantastic, every week we profile some of the most amazing developments in science and technology. And usually on this program we talk about the future of space travel, the future of medicine, the future of astronomy. This time we're going to talk about the past in order to gain some lessons about the future. Specifically, we're talking about the past of epidemics, pandemics, plagues. We're talking about death and destruction on a civilization scale when we look at history. You know, a lot of people were caught by surprise by the ferocity of the coronavirus. But if you think about it, every century or so, going back to antiquity, we've been hit with these incredible plagues. Plagues that have wiped out up to half of known civilization. Plagues which have altered history, the history of wars, empires, the rise and fall of civilizations have been shaped by these pandemics. So with us today is Mr. Owen Jarrus. He's a freelance journalist and he's a prolific writer about history and also about the past. Archaeology in particular. And we're going to talk to him about an article he wrote about the 20 worst epidemics and pandemics in history. So what can we learn, if anything, by looking at the horrible epidemics of the past? I should also point out that if you want to know more about Science Fantastic, go to my website. It's mkaku.org, mkaku.org. We have 3 million fans on Facebook. We have about 1 million fans on Twitter. And go to my website and you can see the 4 New York Times bestsellers that I've written. The last one was called The Future of Humanity. The Future of Humanity in Outer Space. As we go back to the moon, as we go to Mars, and even beyond. But today we're not going to be talking about outer space. We're going to be talking about inner space. The fact that when we talk about history, we realize that there's a price that we pay for civilization. You know, when we were hunter-gatherers in the forest many, many thousands of years ago, there were only maybe 100, 200 of us, and we were pretty much spaced apart, and we didn't have to worry about epidemics. However, once civilization began, once we began to have agriculture, cities were created, and cities meant epidemics that could spread from one city dweller to the next. And then when empires began to rise, empires sent soldiers out to conquer distant lands, and they brought down the plague as a consequence. And then with the discovery of shipping, it made it possible to very rapidly export diseases from one port to the next. And now, of course, we have airplanes. So in a blink of an eye, some epidemic far away, thousands of miles away, could literally touch your backyard. So once again, with us today is Mr. Owen Jarrus, and he's a freelance journalist specializing in history and archaeology. So, Owen, glad you could be on Science Fantastic.
Thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
And the first question that we always ask our guests is, how did you as a youth, as a young kid, get interested in things like journalism and archaeology?
I've been interested in archaeology and journalism for as long as I can remember. I can't really remember a time when I wasn't interested in. I was always devouring newspapers, reading history and archaeology books, watching documentaries. My first degree was in history and archaeology at the University of Toronto. When I completed that, I did a degree in journalism at Ryerson University. And then as time went on, I specialized in history and archaeology in my journalism career.
Now, plagues, of course, are mentioned in the Bible. And many stories in the Bible, in turn, go back maybe perhaps 5,000 years into the past. And in your article, you mentioned that, well, 5,000 years ago, we have documented evidence of a plague that hit China in prehistoric times, a mass grave of the bodies that perished due to some unknown plague. Could you elaborate on that?
Yeah, he was at a site in northeastern China. It was published several years ago in the journal Chinese Archaeology. There was no writing system that was in use at that time in that area, but archaeologists found a vast number of bodies that had been put into a house, and the house had been burnt down shortly thereafter. And the site, which had been in use for some time up to that event, seems to have been abandoned not long after that house was burned down. And there are other archaeological sites nearby which have similar features, which led scientists to believe that there was an epidemic that raged in the northeastern part of China at around that time.
And the photographs from that gravesite are incredible. I mean, we're talking about scores of bodies just dumped in a mass grave, and then just burned to the ground to, I guess, prevent more diseases from spreading. So back then, 5,000 years ago, that was the price we paid as we began to have agriculture form cities and later empires. So let's now talk about the Roman Empire. There's something called the Antonine Plague of AD 165 that you write about. And some people think that, well, maybe that plague began to foretell the fall of the Roman Empire, or at least the weakening of the Roman Empire. Could you elaborate?
Well, in some ways it foretold more than that. The Antonine Plague occurred at the end of a period which is often called the Pax Romana, the Roman peace. It was a period of relative stability throughout the Roman Empire that existed from roughly 28 BC to 180 AD, until the death of Marcus Aurelius. In the time after the Antonine Plague occurred after 180, there was an increasing amount of civil unrest in the Roman Empire. There were more civil wars, more conflicts. The empire began to unravel. There was another series of plagues called the Plague of Cyprian that occurred in the mid-3rd century. And not only was there more civil wars, but religious beliefs began to change. Christianity grew considerably in the 3rd century, and eventually during the 4th century was legalized and even became the official religion of the Roman Empire.
Now, you also write that as the Roman Empire began to spread, armies, of course, spread the power of the Roman Empire, and armies brought back more than just loot and the spoils of war. They also brought back diseases from the ancient parts of the empire, including smallpox. So isn't smallpox one of the greatest killers of antiquity, in antiquity?
Smallpox certainly killed a great many people.
Well, let's take a short commercial break. And after the break, let's get right to it. We're talking about the history, the sordid history of epidemics and pandemics. and you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call if you want to get on 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic. Give us a call at 612-564-8135, and maybe you can get on national radio.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. But soon, you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps. The ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family survival to survivalistcamps.com.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Today, instead of talking about outer space, the future of civilizations as we colonize the universe, no, we're talking about the past. We're talking about the fact that ancient pandemics and epidemics, well, they've been with us since the very dawn of civilization. And some people think that, well, maybe that's the price we pay for civilization. Because once we started to form cities, that means we had crowded areas where viruses could spread. And once we had empires, empires had soldiers. Soldiers brought back loot, but they also brought back diseases from far away. And shipping. The creation of empires also expanded trade routes, and what came back besides the spices were the rats that would also bring the plague as well. But with us today to talk about maybe some of the lessons we can learn from the past is Owen Jarrus. He's a freelance writer, historian, and archaeologist. He's written extensively, for example, in Scientific American, Life Science, The Independent, Canadian Press, Associated Press. He's written widely about archaeology. But when we last left off, we were talking about smallpox, perhaps one of the greatest killers in the history of the human race. And we think that the Roman Empire, in fact, began to totter a bit because of the spread of the smallpox germ around 165 AD. So could you elaborate now about the weakening of the Roman Empire and the rise of smallpox?
Well, after soldiers returned from campaigning, they brought back a disease which historians note sounds a fair bit like smallpox, and that may have killed more than 5 million people. While historians are perhaps not 100% certain that it's smallpox, the descriptions given of the disease that survives suggest that it probably was. And in the time after this occurred, there was a growing amount of civil unrest and discord throughout the Roman Empire. It was the end of the what was called the Pax Romana, the Roman peace.
Okay, well, in 400 AD, roughly speaking, the Roman Empire, the western half of the Roman Empire, finally collapses, falls, but the eastern half, the Byzantine Empire, survived for several more centuries, but it too was affected by a huge plague, the Justinian Plague. So could you elaborate? Some people think that that really weakened what was left of the Roman Empire.
It did. The Byzantine Empire had been flourishing during the reign of Justinian. They had regained a good bit of territory, including territory in Italy, and they were beginning construction of the great cathedral known as the Hagia Sophia, when the bubonic plague hit and really ravaged that empire. Even Justinian got it, although he survived. Some estimates suggest that it may have killed 10% of the world population. In the time period after the plague ended, the Byzantine Empire gradually lost territory, and it never really got back to the heights which it reached under Justinian.
Okay, well, the Roman Empire, of course, does fall, perhaps hastened by the spread of the bubonic plague. But now let's go to the Middle Ages. In the Middle Ages, we have one of the greatest plagues of all time, a plague that some people think killed 50% of the entire population of Western Europe. So today, when we talk about the coronavirus, we're talking about perhaps 1,000 here, 1,000 there. But now let's talk about the Black Plague of around 1350. And some people think that perhaps over half the population of Western Europe died as a consequence of this. So talk about that Black Plague and about what spread it and what happened as a consequence.
Well, the plague was spread by like ticks that were carried on in infected rodents, rats, but also other forms of rodents that had traveled in Asia and Europe. The plague spread from Asia to Europe, it seems, and after killing about perhaps up to half of Europe's population, it brought about changes as the smaller number of war workers were able to demand better wages and working conditions, and it helped bring about the end of serfdom. Studies suggest that the surviving workers had better access to meat and higher quality bread, and the lack of workers may have helped contribute to technological innovation that occurred afterwards.
You know, when I was in college, I read a history of the Black Death, and it had a map of the ancient world with sea routes. And as the ships went from one port to the next port, it brought the plague with them. And you could actually trace year by year. Year by year, you could trace the progress of the plague by looking at where certain ships would dock, spreading the disease, which was spread by fleas and ticks on rodents. And it sort of reminds me of the airplane routes of today, that hundreds of years later, we're now analyzing the airplane routes that brought the coronavirus out of Wuhan, China, into the rest of the world within a matter of hours. Amazing. I should also point out that when I was in college, one of the required readings was the Decameron by Boccaccio. Boccaccio was a person who fled the cities of Italy during the Black Plague, and he assembled a bunch of people that told tales. Every night, somebody told a different story, and he collected 100 stories from the year 1350 in a book called the Decameron, 100 stories, the basis of which many Shakespearean plays are based on the work of Boccaccio. So one byproduct of the Great Plague of 1350 is one of the masterpieces of English literature, the Decameron. Well, let's move on now. And let's now talk about what happened to the Native Americans in the 16th century. Some people think that this was one of the greatest of all pandemics of all time. What happened to the Native Americans after the arrival of Columbus? Could you elaborate?
Yes. After the arrival of Columbus, a series of epidemics occurred throughout the Western Hemisphere that wiped out an absolutely immense number of people. Some estimates have that up to 90% of the people living in the Western Hemisphere died eventually of the various plagues, of the various diseases that Europeans brought. Before the time of Columbus, the Western Hemisphere was heavily populated by the Native inhabitants, and in the time after Columbus, the death toll was just catastrophic, and it played a large role in allowing European groups to move in and colonize and wipe out any.
Okay, let's take another short commercial break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call if you want to get on national radio. The number to call is 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters to the radio station you're listening to, the CD you're calling from, and bingo, maybe you can get on 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic. So stay tuned as we talk about lessons from the great pandemics of the ancient past.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
The Food and Drug Administration has granted remdesivir emergency use authorization to treat the most severely ill COVID-19 patients.
I'm pleased to announce that Gilead now has an EUA from the FDA for remdesivir. And you know what that is, because that's been the hot thing also in the papers and in the media for the last little while. An important treatment for hospitalized coronavirus patients. I spoke with Dr. Khan and Dr. Fauci. I spoke with Deborah about it. We've been doing work with the teams at the FDA, NIH, and Gilead for spearheading this public-private partnership to make this happen very quickly.
The announcement came during an Oval Office meeting between President Donald Trump, HHS Secretary Alex Azar, FDA Commissioner Stephen Hahn, and the CEO of Gilead Sciences. This is USA Radio News. The White House has blocked Dr. Anthony Fauci from testifying about the response to the coronavirus crisis before the House Appropriations Committee, according to spokesman Evan Hollander. He had been asked to appear on May 6th. Fauci, the head of the National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, has been a key advisor in the Trump administration's fight against the virus. White House spokesman Judd Deere said the May 6th hearing is not an appropriate time for Fauci to go before the House. Nearly 900 employees, that's 40% of the workforce at a Tyson's food processing plant in Indiana, have now tested positive for the coronavirus. The plant had altered operations April 25th, one of several Tyson plants across the country that have voluntarily closed in an effort to help contain the spread of the virus. A spokeswoman said the Loganport plant employs over 2,200 people, but declined to confirm the number who have tested positive for the virus. This is USA Radio News.
I'm here with Scott Jusium, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
Attention homeowners that have ever had a broken appliance. That's a joke, right? We've all had broken appliances. I own a home just like you, and have found a way for as little as a dollar a day to have all the major appliances in my home on a warranty plan. They're guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You know how expensive an air conditioner, the heating system, a washing machine, dryer, water heater, or refrigerator can be. For about a dollar a day, all your major appliances are protected in case they break. Unless you're Daddy Warbucks or the Monopoly guy and you don't care about money, call my friends at the Home Service Club now and get a warranty on your major appliances. It's a free call, and the first month is free. But be one of the first 25 people to call within the next 10 minutes.
800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. Again, that's 800-825-6796.
This is Science Fantastic.
Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Usually on Science Fantastic, we talk about the future of space travel, the future of cosmology, the future of biotechnology, medicine. But today, in order to understand the future, we have to understand a little bit about the past. So today with us, we have Mr. Owen Jarrus. He's a freelance historian and archaeologist writing extensively in journals with the Associated Press, The Independent, Scientific American, Heritage Key, and a number of other great magazines. And we're talking today about the history of ancient diseases. You know, a lot of people were caught totally off guard by the corona epidemic, but scientists have been warning us about the coming pandemic for generations. Because where do diseases come from? So 60%, approximately 60% of all diseases originate from the animal kingdom. These are ancient diseases, perhaps older than humanity itself. But when we expand with our civilization and trespass on these ancient breeding grounds of these very old diseases, some of them mutate and hop over to humans, and then we're caught totally off guard. In other words, it could happen again, because there's this huge reservoir of ancient diseases and viruses, many of which we have no defense for, whether they come from fleas, mosquitoes, bats, whatever. As civilization expands, one of the prices we pay for civilization is these ancient plagues. Well, when we last left off, we were talking about what happened to the Native American population. And as I understand, as European settlers moved into this new world, they would encounter entire villages where everyone was dead. All the Native Americans died because they didn't have any immunity to these new diseases from the new world. So tell us a little bit about what happened. What happened to the Aztec Empire, the Incas, and of course the rest of the Native American population as their population dropped by maybe 90%? How did that happen?
Well, as the epidemic spread and as many people died, it became a lot easier for the Spanish to conquer those groups. They basically any military force that would try to oppose them would be greatly weakened because many of their troops had died of diseases or were greatly ill. And after their empires were destroyed, many of the surviving native people of the Aztec, the Inca empires were enslaved, and their empires were turned into basically gold and silver mining operations for the Spaniards who brought the gold and silver back to Spain. And we saw after that the growth of European settlements in those areas and other parts of the Western Hemisphere, and any native groups that try to oppose European peoples were greatly weakened by diseases if they were able to oppose them at all, which made it a lot easier for Europeans to conquer those groups and kill them.
Okay, now let's talk about the Great Plague of London of 1666. And this is where physics comes into play. Isaac Newton suffered from that Great Plague. But let's take a short commercial break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call if you want to get on 100 radio stations. The number to call is 612-564-8135 if you want to get on Science Fantastic and ask a question. Give us a call.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
You know what's really smart?
Wash your hands frequently, practice social distancing, and stay home if told to do so.
You know what's really dumb?
To ignore your immune system.
Right now, more than ever, your health depends on a strong immune system.
The experts at Immunocorp will give you their 7-step guide to immunity for life, free.
Why? Because we want you to be smart and healthy.
Simply call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com.
Immunocorp has been producing the world's leading immune system products for more than two decades.
To get your free 7-step guide to immunity for life, call 800-446-3063. 800-446-3063.
Be smart. Don't ignore your immune system. Your life depends on it.
Call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com. Immunityforlife.com.
With more people listening to radio than visit Google, Facebook, or YouTube, from the very young to the very old, everyone listens to radio. Pillow companies, alarm, identity theft, nutrition, insurance, banking, automotive, the list goes on and on. Billion-dollar businesses. Why? The answer is radio, the media everyone tunes into. Find out how effective and affordable radio can be for your business. Contact 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com.
This is a Corona Crisis Self-Reliance Alert. If you're worried about the power grid in the current crisis and want to generate your own supply of off-the-grid electrical power, just in case, pay close attention. Here's why. A limited supply of solar backup generators will be available again in the next 2 weeks. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical backup power when you get off the grid. And unlike gas generators, these solar generators run quietly, emit no fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Dangerous weather, social unrest, or overloaded grids this summer will not be a problem if you go to mysolarbackup.com and get your solar backup generator. We regret that supplies are limited and only available on a first-come, first-served basis. Check availability at mysolarbackup.com. Never suffer painful power outages again. Go to mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, we have with us on the line Owen Jarrus. He's a freelance journalist specializing in history and archaeology. And today, instead of talking about the future of space travel, the future of cosmology, the future of medicine and biotech, we're talking about the past to see what lessons we can learn as the whole world is ravaged by a pandemic. And we forget the fact that pandemics go all the way back to the dawn of history. Ever since civilization started to create cities with armies, with shipping routes, we were hit with diseases from the far corners of the planet Earth. Well, now I'd like to move on and talk about the Great Plague of London of 1666. Now, for me, as a physicist, that holds a lot of importance because there was a 23-year-old gentleman, a student at Cambridge University. Cambridge University was shut down, and he had to do safe distancing, so he went back to his country estate, and he looked at the moon. He saw an apple fall. He looked at the moon and asked himself a simple question. If an apple falls, does the moon also fall? And the answer is yes. The moon is in free fall. And he then began to understand the nature of gravity as it tugs on the moon, forcing the moon to go into a circular orbit around that Earth. Well, that 23-year-old man was called Isaac Newton. He discovered the law of gravitation, the three laws of mechanics. He set into motion the Industrial Revolution, in fact, all because in the year 1666, he was suffering from cabin fever and home distancing, going back to his home in Cambridge. So tell us a little bit now about the Great Plague of London.
Well, it was the last major outbreak of plague in Great Lake of Britain. It started in the spring. It spread rapidly during the hot summer months. Again, through it got tick bleeds from plague-infected rodents. And by the time it ended, about 100,000 people, including about perhaps 15% of the population of London, had died. Interestingly, King Charles II fled London along with a number of the senior royal and elite members of the city, and this resulted in many of the death being the like more working class and those who didn't have the ability to leave London or that had jobs that required them to stay. So again, the as in today, those that are disproportionately hit are those who are poor and don't have access to the ability to leave plague infected cities.
And as you mentioned before, every time there's a plague, there's a shortage of workers. Workers then have the upper hand to some degree, and they can then fight for better rights and higher wages and more freedoms. So I guess one byproduct of these plagues is a labor shortage, which puts the advantage to the working people, right?
There was perhaps not to quite the same degree as in Black Death, as there was a Black Death had a higher overall mortality rate continent wide. It's also important to note that just 1 year later, the Great Fire of London occurred, which raged for 4 days and burned down a large portion of the city. So there was another disaster just shortly after that that wiped out a bunch of more people. It may have had some contribution growing resentment against Charles and his successor's role, and may have played a role in anti-monarchist sentiment, and some of the changes that may have resulted in more power in the long term gradually being given to the House of the Commons.
Okay, let's take another short commercial break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. With us today is Owen Jarrus. He's a freelance journalist specializing in archaeology and history. And we're talking about what lessons can we learn about ancient pandemics and plagues of the past, a price we pay for modern civilization.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. With us today is Owen Jarrus, freelance journalist, writing about history and archaeology for a number of great magazines, including Scientific American, Live Science, and the Independent. And we're talking today about the past. What lessons can we learn by analyzing epidemics and pandemics of the past? Well, going now closer to modern times, let's talk about 1918, the Spanish flu, which killed more people than World War I. In fact, President Wilson, President of the United States, was afflicted by the Spanish flu, and they may have even altered the peace agreements, they conjecture, because of his illness. And then how does that compare with the corona epidemic of today? So tell us a little bit about the Spanish flu of 1918.
Well, first thing I should make clear, and this is something that I found very interesting during this, was that the Spanish flu did not start in Spain. The earliest recorded outbreaks that we can be sure about occurred in the United States. The reason why it got the name Spanish flu was because Spain was neutral during World War I, and its press was able to report the existence of the plagues, whereas the United States and other powers that were at war in 1918 suppressed news of it. So if it hadn't been for the First World War and the censorship, it's possible the Spanish flu might have been known as the American flu. Which is just something to think about. Spanish flu is in some ways the closest parallel to what we have. It spread fairly quickly throughout the world and had a fairly high mortality rate occurred. And while like air travel hadn't been wasn't occurring to a large degree, there was enough rapid sea travel that it occurred fast. But one great difference is that the Spanish flu occurred during the midst of a great war, and that contributed to the mortality rate. As many of those who died were suffering from food shortages and from fighting on the trenches. So that helped aggravate a bit. Thankfully, with the coronavirus, at least we don't have a major world war going on right now.
Okay, and I also understand that, there was a story of twins. One twin actually died as an infant in 1918. The other twin lived on for another 100 years and just died recently of the coronavirus. So two twins dying because of two diseases, one that afflicted the people of 1918 and the other one the coronavirus of today. So how would you compare the Spanish flu of 1918 with what's happening today? And then measures taken like home distancing or quarantining or the different kinds of things that people tried 100 years ago.
Well, I would say that the Spanish flu was a Well, while it's still early days with the coronavirus, it's important to note that the Spanish flu occurred from 1918 to about 1920. It looks as if the coronavirus will likely not be as bad as what the Spanish flu occurred. The Spanish flu occurred perhaps up to killed perhaps in 500 million people at a time when the world's population was quite a bit smaller. This probably won't kill as many people with a larger population. The Spanish flu was really a combination of two things. You had a very nasty flu coupled with the horrible conditions and malnutrition of the First World War. You had a perfect storm to really take what would have been a bad plague and make it, a bad like flu, and would have made it far, and just made it far, far worse.
Okay, and some people think that perhaps the Spanish flu virus mutated to become less lethal, and one incarnation of it, a mutation of it, could be the swine flu epidemic, the H1N1 epidemic of 2010. So what are your thoughts about the fact that the flu never really went away? It just mutated, and we get flu shots every year. And the H1N1 swine flu epidemic was a consequence of perhaps a remnant of the 1918 flu virus. What are your thoughts?
Well, a virologist could probably could probably give a much more detailed breakdown of the how much H1N1 is related to the Spanish flu. H1N1, the effects were not nearly so bad as what the Spanish flu was. While the swine flu may have killed more than 500,000 people in a much larger population, that would have global population, that would have been much smaller than the 500 million or so that might have died because of the Spanish flu. So it was considerably milder than what had occurred.
Okay, well, unfortunately, we have run out of time. So, Owen, thank you so much for being on Science Fantastic.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Okay, once again, our special guest today was Mr. Owen Jarrus. He's a freelance journalist specializing in history and archaeology. And we've been talking about, well, not the future, but the past. The fact that humanity has been afflicted by these ancient viruses that mutate and hop over from the animal kingdom to inflict all of humanity. So it's going to happen again. So whatever lessons we learn today will be helpful in the future to prepare for the next pandemic because of this enormous reservoir of viruses in the animal kingdom. So this is Science Fantastic.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million-dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.